And welcome back to Central Point Podcast with me, Shireen. We are at episode 11 and it is Peace Be Still. Now I'm sure you know which part of scripture we're going to be in if you're new to Christianity and you're exploring through this podcast. You're about to find out about a brilliant part of the Bible. I mentioned last week that we will be talking about storms. Storms, beloved. It's like, okay, so we're peacemakers. Okay, so what about when my life is turbulent? What about when I'm going through some things, right? Storms can be a consuming thing sometimes. We can dwell on that storm more so than we dwell on the word of God. We can be so consumed by it. We are almost drowning in it. And it gets to the point that we're beholding the storm more so. Remember, we talked last week about beholding Jesus, right? Beholding Jesus, keeping our eyes on Jesus. And that message filters into this episode quite a lot, actually, as we look to the one who is the Prince of Peace, right? The one who provides peace that surpasses all understanding. When we are so focused on the storms of life, we end up telling the one, the good Father, about the storm, complaining about the storm, going stir crazy about the storm. We end up just telling God about our problem instead of telling our problem about our very good, very loving God. Before we know it, we're a blubbering mess. And you're walking around in life saying stuff like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm alive, you know, can't complain. There's no condemnation. I've been there before. I know what it is. And if you were thinking, dang, I said that just the other day, please relax. Don't stress. I'm just highlighting how we've all been. We've all been there. We all know what that is. Storms are inevitable. They are inevitable. And when you are in a circumstance or a situation, keeping with a storm reference, you feel like you're taking on water and you can't swim, it can get a little sketchy. And in those times, we can find ourselves trying to pray away something. In particular times in life when we find ourselves particularly uncomfortable, where we are unable to show up as a version of ourselves that we have come accustomed to. A version of ourselves that we are comfortable with, a version of ourselves that people are used to dealing with. When we are unable to show up like we've done in the past, we can find ourselves making choices to exit out of the storm so that we can have control and feel good. And then we're like, oh, I'm so peaceful. Or you just created a comfortable environment for yourself, right? Or the other option is allowing that thing, whatever it is, to mold, fashion, cultivate, refine the person God is trying to create within it. And that's not so easy. It's not so easy to surrender to a thing and purpose to go through and find out what God is doing on the inside of you. Because everything that we go through is kind of all about what God is doing on the inside of us, really. Sanctification is a work, right, of a lifetime. And there are things in our characters, there are things in our thinking, there are things in the way we have functioned throughout the years that God will want to take off, that God will want to tweak, that God will want to expand, that God will want to upgrade. And it's not that how we've been living is particularly bad in any way or that we're just wrong. No, it's he's strengthening you, he's refining you, he is increasing your faith. He's showing you a different side of him. He's showing you what he can do. He's showing you that his strength is made perfect in weakness. There are things that God is wanting to do in the storm. And I know we're like, well, I'd rather just like learn it. Just tell me, Lord, you know, just increase my faith without it, Lord. Just show me your wonderful hand without it, Lord. I will behold you. I will. I'll behold you. And I will have all the faith and I will have all the peace. I will bear so much fruit. I am so sure about myself and learning from you without being uncomfortable. And the reality is you're human. You're human and you pay attention when you're a little bit uncomfortable. Straight facts. And the remarkable thing is that if you are a praying, prayerful person, if you seek the Lord, if you have surrendered a thing, your dreams, your job, your relationship, your ministry, your family, your finances, I don't know, whatever it is, input what you've surrendered to God. If you then experience a storm, if somewhere your peace goes because it's now uncomfortable and you are now unsure and you are now not knowing, right? And then you start to spiral a little bit and then you try to seek control and then you try to take things into your own hands, but that area you did surrender and that area you did hear God from and that area you have been making faith moves up to this point, why would we assume that all the way up to this point we're with the Lord and then suddenly God is no longer in it because a storm rose up, because you're not really sure how to navigate it just yet. And God just seems a little quiet. God seems a little too quiet. When I started this month, I shared that God revealed that I'm in a peace-filled faith season. Now, I didn't know that that was how I was going to start this month. I just knew the month would be on peace. I also didn't know that my life would kind of align with the episode releases. And Holy Spirit, you know, very funny thing, that which I did not expect is the reality, because I too had a storm raise up inside of me. And the storm was a battle of what God said to me and who I see myself as. Beloved, it was interesting because, like I said, these storms are to refine us further. They're to really show us who we are or reveal something that might be getting in the way of what God is trying to do in us, what God is trying to bring out of us, what God is trying to shape within us. And I just thought it was super, it was super funny how I'm like, this is a peace-filled faith season I'm in. Storm builds up and I'm like, ooh, okay. So I want to read the account in the Bible where we're going to be. And I will share how this part of scripture connects to my testimony of how peace be still flooded my system when Holy Spirit spoke the truth to me. So let's read from Mark chapter 4, starting from verse 35, and we're going to go down to verse 39, reading from the New King James Version. And this section is subtitled, Wind and Wave Obey Jesus. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him, and a great windstorm arose. And the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose, and he rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, "Peace, be still." The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Question, were they perishing? Were they perishing? The boat is taking on water. Mm. If it keeps taking on water, human mind says, we will sink. We will go under. This boat cannot handle this amount of intake. This boat cannot stand the forces of the wind. This storm is too strong for the vessel that I am in. I am in danger. We are in danger. But what have I kept repeating in this podcast? What business is our Father about? He is about the business of saving lives. Our Jesus, right? Our Jesus, who knows he has the power to resurrect dead bodies, which he describes as sleeping. This Jesus, who also knows that when he dies, he has the power within him to resurrect himself. That same Jesus, I think, if he is asleep, not dead asleep, asleep, would in his spirit wake up if they were actually in a perishing situation. He said, let us cross over to the other side. That's it. We are about to cross over to the other side. There is a peace in him. He shares that he's always about his Father's business. He does what the Father commands him. Jesus goes off in the mountains to pray, to be alone, to isolate. He is being thronged most of the day by people who need things from him. He heals, he teaches, he speaks in parables, he feeds the thousands, and he has chosen to be asleep. What is it, beloved, about circumstance that makes us forget the one whose hands we're in? That makes us forget the character of the hands we are in? How is it that we forget that the Father went to such great lengths to save us, that when the storms of life arise, we have the biggest issue? We start spiraling out of control, like we do not have a God, like he doesn't care about what we're going through, like he doesn't know, like he doesn't understand Earth. I've been alive 33 years, and me, in my limited time on Earth, we're acting like he doesn't know how the Earth works. Like, we don't, like, God, you don't know how it works down here, but there are needs upon needs, and you're out here just holding back your hand. What is it about us that does that? They come to Jesus and say, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? What a way to come to Jesus. It's like they see him sleeping and they say, he has the absolute audacity. He has the absolute nerve. How can you be doing that at a time like this? How can you be resting when we are dying? We are on the brink of death. Death is at the door. It's knocking, Jesus. We're too busy telling the Lord instead of beholding the Lord and joining him there. So I said that this really connects to a testimony in this season of my life. Goodness, Jesus met me, beloved. Jesus met me. And then I stormed. Let me explain. So he met me. I closed my eyes and I saw the kindest face. And he said, believe me. And I cried because he was so kind. And what I am believing for, I don't see. I haven't seen. I've not been seeing any evidence of. After him beautifully meeting me, telling me to believe him, I went to spend some time with him. to talk to him on a different part of my life. A decision I knew he was calling me to, I needed strengthening in. And so I went away to be strengthened by him, to be like, I'm weak and I need you. I need you for this. But when I had got to that place, when I stepped over the threshold of the door, a wave of emotion came up. I told the Lord, I'm going to unpack my things and then I'm going to shout at you. And you might think, wow, like that's just rude and irreverent and disrespectful. You wouldn't be wrong. And this thing that I wanted to shout at him about was about how I am and how what he was saying made no sense with the way I am. And that is a crazy thing also to admit. So I was coming at him with, what is this? This is not how people know me or see me or know of me. This kind of goes against how I've been walking this far. And I was telling him how I have faith enough for something else. And he's like, so why don't you have faith with what I've said? And I keep going. It's like, that's beside the point. I'm talking about who I am. It's crazy talk, beloved, but this is where I was at. That peace I had started to completely waver when I started to think about who I am. And he spoke so gently, because that's how he is. And pretty much said, exactly, I know who you are. And if I had not said, when I said, if I had arrived at that point without a word from God, there would be no way. He said, you would have purposed your heart. And I stopped crying immediately. I stopped shouting immediately. I was completely calm. As in my heart, I responded with, you're right. You are right. It is the truth, beloved, that sets us free. The Father knows. And so, did the circumstance become comfortable? No. But what had changed was trusting the Father, because I had already purposed to believe him. I had purposed to trust him. I then brought myself into the mix. God had to show me myself in that moment. And that is an incredibly humbling experience. And I want to return to this account and I want to read the next two verses after the peace be still, because it's like, ooh. Okay, Lord. So returning back to the scriptures, I'm going to go back to verse 39 and continue to verse 41. It reads, and then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly. Goodness, beloved, he said, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And it says, and they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? So when they were waking him up, what were they actually wanting him to do? They feared greatly because the wind and the sea obey him. So you woke him up not knowing that he could do anything about the circumstance. I'm a bit confused. You woke him up to do what then? I don't mean to laugh. Oh my gosh. But really, it just came to me. It's not even in my notes. Did they wake him up to join them in their panic? The very idea of that is so ridiculous. Oh, one second. That's honestly tickled me. Just give me a moment. I'm just seeing panic. I'm just seeing chaos. And then waking someone up just to have them be in chaos with you. What do you mean? They feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Isn't that what you wanted him to do? stop the storm so you could stop freaking out? You're not even rejoicing, you're fearing. You're not praising, you're fearing. All the questions. What manner of man is this? The very thing that gripped your heart in fear, the very thing gripped you. You remember, you were knocking at death's door. Now you're out here on the calmest of seas, you know, there's no more wind. I wonder if the sun came out, you know, just to highlight the peace that fell on this scene. And you fear exceedingly. It doesn't even say that they were cut to the heart because of their unbelief. No, no. It's like, did you miss the part where Jesus says, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? No faith. In the Matthew account, it says, oh, ye of little faith. And you know, Jesus said that quite a bit. He said that quite a bit. Mark says it's stronger. No faith. He says, I am in the boat. I am in the boat with you. I have not sent you forward without me. And we're going to read an account where he does do that. And there are wind and waves included and something is commanded. But he is in the boat with them here. How are you so faithless? Have you not walked with me all this time? Have you not seen what I have done? Have you not heard the teachings from my mouth? How are you this way when I am with you in the very vessel you think is being overtaken? Where does Holy Spirit dwell, beloved? Where does Jesus dwell, beloved? Who are you abiding in? Ooh, beloved! Come on! I want the devil to shut up. I want the lies to cease. I want the father of lies to flee from you, beloved. Where do you abide? What is taking over your God, please? Because if you abide in the Father, if you abide in Jesus, if you are grafted in to the true vine, what wind, what waves can take over Jesus, please? Because as we have gone over the account before in, did you say, if Jesus was starving and the devil could not overcome him, who, what, when and where will the vine ever be taken over? He says, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Where do you dwell? Where do you abide? Who dwells in you? It may not make any sense, beloved. It may not make any sense. It might not even look like it could even make any sense. I'm not asking you to look with your physical eyes. I am asking you to look with your spiritual eyes. Ask the Lord to help you see in the spirit. Who was it? Elisha, where he prayed for their eyes to be opened and it was like a veil was lifted. They saw the chariots of angels, the army of God that was on their side. The prophet said, open their eyes in the physical. They could see nothing. They knew nothing. The prophet said, open their eyes. They saw. They saw their mighty hand of God with them. The devil will have us focus on completely the wrong thing. The devil will have us focus, be self-preserving. I mean, I went to God and I said, that's not who I am. I'm telling my father who I am. Come on. Absolutely not. The Lord knew I was going to do this episode. He's like, we're going to have an event, daughter of mine, and you're going to speak on it in this episode. It's crazy town, beloved, for us to be children of God and choose to focus on everything but him when these things arise. When we amplify everything else but his mighty hand, but his loving heart, but his daily mercies. The mercies that are new every morning. Now, I mentioned how the Lord says no faith. In Matthew it says, oh ye of little faith. And that statement, oh you of little faith, is just one word. When I looked it up in the Bible, it's just one word that encapsulates the entire sort of statement. And it means incredulous, which is disbelieving. There is just one word, and that is what Jesus declares on multiple occasions. And I mentioned another moment with wind and waves, and those who know the scriptures will know that is Peter walking on water. And that is found in Matthew 14. And this event happens after the moment on the boat with Jesus in it, because that's in Matthew 8. Later on, we have this account of Jesus walking on water, and that's Matthew 14. And I'm going to read from 22. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. How do you think the disciples are on the boat? They've already experienced winds and waves before, so they're in the middle of the sea being tossed by the waves and being tossed by the wind. But Jesus is not on the boat. Do they think they have the authority like they do over demons, and they have the authority to heal people? Do they believe at this point they have the authority to tell the wind and the waves to stop? Do you think they're panicking on the boat, or do you think they're calm on the boat? We don't know. It doesn't say what they're doing on the boat. It just says they're in the middle of the boat, this time without Jesus. See how like the lessons of the Lord just escalate, you know? It's like, oh, so we've gone through this bit. Don't you worry. There's more refining to be done. If you're willing to walk with me, follow me, I will take you places where you need to go. I will lead you places where you need to experience. I will take you through things that will have you very much different on the other side. Returning to the scriptures, reading from verse 25. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. You know, the previous thing of water getting on the boat, or we're going to perish. I cannot believe it. We're going to die. Oh, wait, that reminds me of Incredibles. When Dash, we're going to die. We're going to die. And then Elastigirl, she's like, we are not going to die. She just like, you know, brings her family into just sense. Forgive me, guys, just images. That is what I'm seeing right now. Saying, it is a ghost, and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, he is not going to keep them in turmoil over a lie. It's a whole lie. That's not a ghost. Jesus immediately spoke. Praise be to God. Spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I, do not be afraid. Be of good cheer. It is I, do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me, not invite me, command me to come to you on the water. What choice of words. Command me to come to you on the water. Verse 29. And he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, beloved, we're talking about walking off a boat. Okay, walking off a boat. There's nothing sane about that. There's nothing sane about going, I'm just going to walk on this water. There's nothing remotely okay to the physical eye about that. Peter came down out of the boat. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. If you say, I can, is the situation. If you command it, it is. So what the Father commands, it is. So he does not command anything he is not willing to do in you. That is not how our Father works. Peter says, you command me to come to you on the water. He didn't say command me to go dance in the water. Mm-mm. He's like, I want to run around this boat. Woohoo! Look at me, I can run on water. No, command me to come to you. To come to you on the water. Verse 30, but when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. Here we have a perishing moment once again. Fear comes in, and death is at the door. Lord, save me. Jesus says, come. He stepped out on a word. He stepped out on a word, beloved, catch it. He stepped out on what the Lord had said. Jesus didn't say, it is I, do not be afraid. And he goes, oh my gosh. Then Peter threw off his coat and ran to him on the water. No, but that did happen when Jesus resurrected, right? And he was on the shore with the fish and the bread. He said, have you caught anything? And John goes, yo, that's the beloved. That's the savior. That's Jesus. And Peter jumped. He didn't wait for that boat. He didn't wait for the boat to get to shore. He jumped out, swam himself to the Lord, right? A completely different situation. No, he was not afraid stepping out because Jesus had said. And in the journey, on the way to the Lord, and he must have been very, very close because the next verse says immediately once again, he must have been very, very close. And for some reason, his eyes get taken off the Savior, the one who said, the one who called, the one who commanded, and he shifts ever so slightly to the environment. The environment that was always the same, by the way. A storm didn't happen whilst he walked, then suddenly the winds blew and suddenly the waves rose. No. He already had that situation before. He was already in the situation. And then when he purposed to walk towards the Lord in the situation, at some point his eyes went from the Lord to the situation and he realized reality set in, but not in a good way. The conditions were a problem all of a sudden. He was afraid. And the word that he was walking on no longer became the solid ground, the firm foundation in which he walked upon. He no longer walked by faith, but by sight, and began to sink. Verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith. Why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. 33, look at the different response. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Whilst Peter sits in the corner of the boat, deep breathing. It says, then those who were in the boat, those who were already in the boat, truly you are the Son of God. They didn't even walk on water. They didn't walk on water. They didn't leave the boat. They just watched it all unfold. You know, what was going on? Peter's now inside the boat trying to work out what the heck just happened. But again, it is a storm. And again, it is looking upon those things that cause fear to enter in. But God hasn't given us the spirit of fear. So if suddenly we are afraid in something that God has said, we must go, devil, get behind me, because it wouldn't be coming from fear. if the law was trying to steer me in a way, it would come via conviction. It will come from a strong impression that actually it's left, I've got to turn, not right. But fear, when you are walking with the Lord and when God has led you somewhere, told you to do something, and then suddenly fear comes in, no, beloved, no, no, no. Got to go back to the one who said and make sure, Lord, I'm coming to you on this matter. I want to make sure that I've heard you correctly, I've heard you rightly. And God may meet you there and say, hey, you step before me in this and X, Y, Z. Or he may just go, no, this is exactly how it was going to turn out. I am doing something in you right now. And we don't like that one. We do not like that one. We're like, no, just let me know. Yeah, you went off and did your own thing. I have honestly been there where I'm like, just tell me where I just went off. And I will repent. I will repent and hold my hands up and say, yep, that was me. Because I need an excuse to why this looks the way it looks right now. And when God does not give you that, when God keeps saying, no, you hear me correctly. Oh no, you heard me correctly. Oh no, you did what I said. And you're like, how? This doesn't make any sense. I am so uncomfortable. Good, is what I have to say to that, beloved, as someone who's now living on the other side of nonsense. Good, because it will work out something wonderful in you. I mean, imagine this. Imagine that the disciples don't wake up Jesus. Imagine they're panicking and they send whichever disciple, go get Jesus. And that disciple goes and that disciple beholds Jesus. And for a moment he pauses and he considers the man that he knows. He considers the friend that has walked with him thus far. He looks at the peace in his face, the deep breathing, and he turns around and says, the teacher is sleeping. There's panic and shock. What do you mean? Someone runs in, they see him sleeping as well, but they also can't bring themselves to wake him. They behold him, he is sleeping. They're talking amongst themselves. He is sleeping. What do we do? And imagine they choose to rest beside him. Imagine they choose to rest beside him. And when they wake up, there is no wind, there is no waves. What testimony would come from their mouths? What story would they tell Jesus? Jesus, we panicked for a moment. We went kind of crazy. There was a terrible storm. But we saw that you were resting, and so we thought, maybe it's gonna be okay. And we chose to rest with you, and we were right. If you were resting, Lord, surely we're okay. The testimony would be, I can sleep in a storm. I can find rest in a storm. Imagine they slept with him, and they woke up, and there were still winds and waves. Okay, Jesus wakes up and goes, hey, be still. We've got places to be. The wonderment, the awe. Oh, we can sleep in a storm and the wind and the waves obey him. This is awesome. Obviously, that wasn't the story. They didn't rest with him. They didn't get replenished. But what testimony do you want? Which one do you want, beloved? The one where, because you're completely beside yourself and you're unable to see the Father correctly and you're unable to see Jesus correctly, and because you are just unable to see them correctly, they get rid of it. They love you too much, so they will. And whatever that situation was meant to grow in you, the faith that it was supposed to expand in you, doesn't happen, and you are in your comfort zone and you're comfortable for that time. Or you have the testimony that you went through it. And when people look at you and you tell them your testimony, they could never imagine that was you. Your smile's too bright. Your eyes shine too much. Where are the battle scars? Why do you hold yourself with confidence? Why do you talk about the Lord so passionately? How do you love others so greatly? What are you talking about that you have been through, seen so much, experienced so much? How do you still love? How do you still position people correctly? How? And the testimony is, beloved, Jesus. He was with me through it all. He carried me through it all. After I have asked him to lead, after I have asked him to take control, after I have asked him for his will to be done, if I am in such a situation, it is because he wants it so. And if he wants it so, he is doing something. Something that I cannot explain, something that I can't work myself out of, something that I cannot control, but something wonderful. Which testimony do you want? It's not easy, beloved, but I want to encourage you when things like this rise up and God has said, I'm talking about when God has said, when God has not said and you are in something, it might be a situation of you tell that thing to leave. Peace, be still, get out, move from me. That is not God's will for my life. There is a difference. But when God has said, I encourage you to speak peace be still to your heart. You speak peace be still to your mind. You take hold of the peace of God because there is Holy Spirit in you. There is authority in you. And just as we go through spiritual warfare and we know we're being attacked and you say, devil, get behind me. You don't sit there being attacked by the devil and go, well, I'm gonna go through it. No, get off, get out. Move. You have no place here. You have no authority here. I do not belong to you. But when it is the Lord that has placed you in a circumstance, know that he is God, beloved. I want to read a scripture that pertains to the new man. And it is found in Colossians 3 and it's verses 15 to 16. And it reads, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Beloved, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Remember, it is the peace of God that guards our heart. Beloved, you were called in one body and be thankful. Singing with grace in your hearts. Beloved, that is the gospel. How can you sing with grace in your hearts if you have not received grace? If you have not received what grace has accomplished for you? We're talking about praise. We're talking about the peace of God ruling your hearts and keeping you a praise-filled person. It is our reality in Jesus that provides all of this, which is the new man, which is you, beloved, which is you, child of God, which is you, child of promise, which is you. This is who you are. So this is completely and 100% possible. It is yours to have. Don't let the devil take this from you. If he can steal your peace, he will steal the very thing that guards your heart. He will steal the very thing that Jesus accomplished for you, which is peace with God. Even though it is there, you will never take hold of it because you cannot believe it, because you have listened to the devil and his lies for far too long. Don't listen to this counterfeit trying to take the place of your Abba. In verse 16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. You know, Mark 4, before the account of the wind and the waves and Jesus rebuking them, there are parables. Jesus explains about the soil, good soil, the different types of soil. And as I read, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, I think of good soil, beloved. This, the gospel, this, our reality needs to be in good soil, because last time I checked the parable of the soil and the sower, that thorny ground, that is what has you looking at the cares of the world, choking what the word of God has said. We cannot have thorns in our soil when it comes to our reality in Jesus. We need to accept the word of God. Accept what God has done and let it do its work in us. Watch how you dance, and people will watch you and be like, what do they have to sing and dance about? I know their situation. Be an eyesore, beloved. Be a confusion, beloved. Have others maybe even uneasy by just how much peace you house despite it all. Let us pray. Oh, kind, wonderful, majestic, caring Father. Thank you so much for these two accounts in your Bible, in your word of Jesus in a storm. Thank you for the gentle lesson about faith, Father God, that it is our faith that is connected to our peace, that believing correctly, believing rightly, having faith in you is what keeps and guards our heart with the peace of God. Father God, thank you that we can rely on you when things rise up. In the account with Peter, it says immediately, Father God, immediately when they were believing a lie, immediately when Peter was actually sinking, immediately you show up, Father God. This is who you are. This is who you are. And so because we know who you are, if you decide to be silent, Father God, we will understand that you are causing us to rest in you, in it. Father, give us discernment when we have to rebuke what is happening about us and it must cease because it is not from you, but a lie and a war from the devil that needs to be shut down. Thank you that you are patient and that you never give up. That you are steadfast and that you are faithful to the cause which is us. Which is our growth, our development, our sanctification, our belovedness, our daughtership, our sonship. Us being ambassadors for Jesus in the world. You will do whatever it takes for us to actually shine in this earth. We praise you, we magnify your name. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit, the Holy Comforter. We thank you for your loving arms that carry us. We thank you. I speak against anything that is rising up for your children that is not from you, that it must move in the name of Jesus. It must cease and it must go in the name of Jesus. And I pray that if anyone is going through what you have intended for them and it just feels a little too hard right now, I pray peace be still into their hearts and into their minds, that they take a glimpse of you and they see you resting in it and they trust that they can rest too. You are wonderful. You are worthy of our praise and we are grateful. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for joining me in this episode. Who knows what will happen before the next episode. Maybe there'll be a testimony. Maybe I'll just speak what I've got planned out. Who knows? But we are staying in peace. We're going to exhaust this thing because it is imperative. Thank you for being here. Thank you for delighting with me. I will see you next week by God's grace. God bless you. Take care.